Let us open our Bibles at the Epistle of James, James chapter 1. And we'll fix our attention upon the words of the fifth verse in James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We'll fix our attention upon these words now as we seek the Lord in prayer. O Lord, abide with us now. Take thy holy word, we beseech thee. Grant that the Holy Spirit himself will communicate that word. Lord, especially today, speak to every one of our hearts. Make the word of God crystal clear. We pray for unction in the ministry, for the anointing to preach. Lord, there is a definite experience of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Grant to this preacher now the undertaking of the Lord himself. O Lord, may we be filled with thy Spirit, filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. O Lord, give us to know thy mind and will for this meeting, that everyone may hear and receive the word of God. Help us to receive thy word as we ought. Help us to hide it in our hearts that we sin not against thee. Lord, save us especially from preaching like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Our greatest fear is that the word preached may have little effect and produce little fruit. O Lord, may there be an abundant harvest in thy mercy. Cause thy face to shine on us. Lord, remember the congregation of thy people in this burn. Favor us, we beseech thee, with revival. All these things we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake and glory. Amen. This last little while, we have been speaking about the one word, just the tiny particle, if, as it occurs in the Scriptures. And we have been grouping some of the references together, as I'm sure you'll know, speaking about the if of confusion, the if of wrongdoing, even the misquoted ifs of the Bible. Then we had that day when we thought about the song of the ifs, that special part of the Bible that concentrates on the ifs and seems to take the form of a song, an ancient hymn of praise, doubtless joined in and celebrated among the people of God. We thought last time of the if of unbelief, and it's only right before we close the series for us to look at some of the ifs of encouragement in the Bible. Just as a matter of interest, the Strong's Concordance of the Bible is entitled an exhaustive concordance. That is to say, it purports to give every single word that occurs in the English Bible. It's a huge volume, every bit as large as that pulpit Bible I ordinarily use. And as a matter of information, in the Strong's Concordance, some 4.5 large pages are taken up with Bible references containing the word if. So if we tried to speak about them all, we would be a very long time. But we're not going to speak about them all. I do want, however, to speak about the ifs of encouragement. This is one of them here. James chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the kind of verse that I would give to every young Christian. If you're just newly entered into the family of God, here are words that are suitable for you. Words of the simplest, most elementary kind.
Even when it comes to pray, here are words that alike seem to fit the condition of the young and the old alike. So if you're just a young believer, here's an excellent passage of Scripture for you. If now you've been some years in the Christian pathway, these words still have an application to your experience. No matter how many years you've trusted and known the Lord, these words are still going to be a benefit to you. You still need plenty of wisdom. You still need to seek the Lord's face about this matter. Everybody needs wisdom. You need wisdom when you're reading the Bible. You need wisdom to pray. You need wisdom for your everyday life. And you need wisdom in a thousand things. When decisions are to be taken, some of them very, very important decisions. Oh, how you stand in need of wisdom. Now, men and women, especially if I can single out those who belong to the Lord, there's a marvelous promise whereby everybody, without exception, can ask God for wisdom and expect to receive it too. Anybody here in this meeting can pray to God for wisdom respecting guidance. When you have matters to settle in your own mind, in your family, in other parts of your life, you can say, Lord, give me wisdom. It will not only be essential for you to pray for that wisdom, but to open up your Bible. Get a hold of this reference. And on your bended knees, open these pages with James 1 and 5 in front of you. Go over these words in prayer. Don't just be content with saying, Lord, you promised to give us wisdom, and therefore we ask you for wisdom. I don't think the Lord wants you to pray that way. The Lord gives us this promise, not only that we may know the words of it. He gives us this promise that we may pray over the words themselves. We must learn to pray the actual words of God into our hearts. And men and women, we have a verse like this so that we can go to the Lord in prayer about it. Pray over every line. Pray these words into your heart. I don't know to whom I'm speaking today. Happily, I'm speaking to everybody in the congregation. But maybe the Lord has purposed that you in particular should give solemn attention and very diligent heed to words like these. We need wisdom in a thousand things. Look at chapter 3 of this same letter. Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So the Lord is saying, are there any among the saints of God who seem to be endowed with wisdom? Are there any who can lay claim to long years of experience in the things of God, who are endued with knowledge? All right. Then let these men and women show out of a good conversation, a good manner of life, if you like, a good way of conduct and behavior. Let them show out of a good way of life his works with meekness of wisdom. So every Christian is to show wisdom. And we all need plenty of it. Sometimes I have said to our friends on a Monday night at our prayer meeting, you can pray this prayer, Lord, give me a whole lot more sense than I have. And that's a prayer you could pray every week. That's a prayer you could pray every day. And in James chapter 3, the child of God is instructed to have wisdom in his deportment. So in his attitude to others, what he says, and very often in what he does not say, and what he does, and very often what he does not do, the child of God needs wisdom. You will think of those in the Old Testament who are described in the saddest terms as having wrought folly in Israel. You will think of that man, a dear servant of God, who had to lament before he reached the end of his days, "I have played the fool and erred exceedingly." There are instances then when men and women needed wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy." There's a sevenfold statement. I don't know if you noticed that. Now maybe you can notice it now. Seven ingredients in the deportment of the Christian who's going to conduct himself wisely. It is said of David that he behaved himself wisely among the people. And the Christian will need to do that. And if you're looking for seven ingredients that make up the wise man's life in terms of his attitude and behavior and so on, just look these things over. Number one, pure. Secondly, peaceable. Thirdly, gentle. Fourth, easy to be entreated. Fifth, full of mercy and good fruits. Sixth, without partiality. Seventh, without hypocrisy. These are things that we would do well to meditate at length on. We cannot stop with them now. Suffice to say, God calls us to be wise in our behavior among the people of God. We're not to be as those who wrought folly in Israel, who have played the fool, and who have erred exceedingly. But then we need wisdom to hear. Let's go over to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. And there are many references, in fact, from the book of Proverbs that we could take for this. But we'll stay with chapter 8 and just look at one or two verses in it. So God calls us to have wisdom. Wisdom in our behavior every day. Now the scripture gives you encouragement. If any man lack wisdom, wisdom as to how to behave. If you lack old-fashioned horse sense, as some might put it, that's just to speak of common sense. If you seem to lack that, you can ask God for wisdom as to your everyday life. In your going out and in your coming in, you need it. Believe me. Proverbs 8, verse 5. "O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." Look at verse 33. "Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not." We need wisdom to hear. Oh, let us prize every opportunity we can get of listening to the Word of God. I am convinced that the devil lulls many of us to sleep. Now, I'm not going to be content to let you nod over to sleep physically. Sometimes I have to take my glasses off so I can see. But when I do, I can see my congregation very well. I'll try to keep you awake physically. But there's no way that I can reach the heart. The Lord alone can do that. I'm talking now about you giving heart attention to the word that God has given. It's so easy for one to sit down in the congregation, to let the words drift in through one ear and out the other. And we never seem to sense that the day is coming on apace when we're going to drift out into God's eternity. The end will come. Time is running out for everybody in this congregation. I want to impress that on you. Time is running out for you. And you need wisdom to pay heed to the word of God. Wisdom to hear and wisdom to drink in everything God says. And you can pray, therefore, "Lord, give me wisdom
to pay heed to the Scriptures.
Don't play the fool. Now that you can listen, listen well. And there are other Scriptures he might have looked at today. Wisdom about the work. That would be important too. Wisdom to get into the work of God with all your heart and soul. Wisdom before the unsaved. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. The Christian needs wisdom every way he turns. And I cannot give you a better promise, whether you are to be classified as a young believer, just a beginner in the Christian life, or whether you're to be classified as one largely experienced in the things of God. You've read your Bible through many times, but whoever you are, this is still a word for you. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him do that. The God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I'm greatly encouraged by that promise. It's a promise that I use very, very often in this pulpit here and even in the minister's room before I come out to face the congregation. Let's go to another if. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. If ye then, being evil, and there's a sequence of ifs in the context here, when the Savior speaks of the asking of the child, if a son shall ask any of you that is a father, and in three distinct settings, our Lord uses the if until he comes to verse 13. When he transports the believer in his thinking to his relationship with the Lord. And verse 13 begins with the words, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now every Christian has the Holy Spirit already dwelling in his body. From the exact moment you were saved, the Holy Spirit came to tabernacle within. Moreover, he has come to abide with you forever. So if you're a Christian, find tremendous encouragement in this. You have the Holy Spirit of God already residing in your heart. But now our Lord is teaching the readiness of our Heavenly Father to give. He uses the illustration of the child with its father. Verse 11 puts the proposition, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father. Now in the original scriptures, in verse 11, the definite article is used. The verse then might read like this, if the son. The definite article occurs in the scriptures with a purpose. What is the purpose? To make the statement definite, as the name definite article will imply, to make the thing definite. Then I'm going to think about the son. I'm not saying that parents should make differences in the family. Sometimes it happens. And there's somebody in the family who seems to just have an extra special position. If you're the only one in the family, of course, you are the person in the whole family. Well, here's a son. He's the son. He's the child of his father's love. He is the son who occupies that place in the father's heart. Now, that's the strength of this 11th verse. If the son, the son of his father's love, the son of his father's heart, if that son will ask bread of any of you who is a father, will he give him a stone? Oh, the answer is no, in no way. Well then, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You can come as one of God's favorites. You're already in his family. And we're told that he will give grace or favor to those who come boldly to the throne of grace. and you can come to your Father.
That's how we are to come. We're to come as children. We're to come as children to our Father. And a child, if you think about it, will ask constantly of his Father.
The little child is asking all the time. And the child will ask plainly. You'll not need to get a dictionary to find out what the child's talking about.
And the child will ask because of an appetite. He'll ask for bread, the simplest thing. Not the most expensive commodity in the universe, but the simplest thing that's necessary for everyday sustenance. He's asking for bread of his Father. He asks because of an appetite, and he asks confidently. He knows that his Father will give. Let us ask for the Holy Spirit to come in power upon our lives. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Sometimes the Christian is marked out by his coldness and his backsliding. But we need to be marked out, men and women, more and more in these evil days as believers filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Before I make reference to another verse, can I ask you, have you sought the Lord earnestly about this? Are you living a Spirit-filled life? Is your testimony that of the Spirit-filled believer? We're thankful for the unity and the warmth of fellowship God has given us in this congregation. We take that to be a favor, extraordinary. But some fellowships are broken up by divisiveness. Some fellowships are in a very precarious state because the slightest thing in the congregation will nearly split the entire work of God. Some fellowships are in grave danger because the tiniest little thing will give rise to bitterness and to offense among the people of God. Oh, men and women, since God has given us the kind of unity we have been enjoying as a blessing from the Lord in this congregation, let us go then one step further and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. That preacher is blessed indeed who has a Spirit-filled congregation. That congregation is blessed indeed who will be listening to Spirit-filled preaching every day. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. That is what our prayer ought to be. This is an effort of encouragement. If you can do it, and if you'll do it every day for your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father do it? Praise the Lord for his goodness. Go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. Here's another if of encouragement. Verse 6, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey thee. If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Isn't this an encouragement? Isn't the Lord saying here, look, you can get faith, and if you had faith just like a grain of mustard seed, then you might be able to see things done in your life, whatever the Lord wants you to do. Now this encouragement to faith is an encouragement to faith in its most minute form. The grain of mustard seed is something that usually in our journeys to Israel, we can show to those who travel with us. We have often taken the little capsule filled with mustard seed and opened it up and poured it out in the palm of the hand, and it's absolutely staggering how tiny those little flecks of what appears to be dust, those tiny little grains just like black pepper that you might shake from the duster upon the palm of your hand. That's just about the size of them. And you can rub them with your finger, single them out, until you get one tiny fleck that'll stand its own. And the Lord is saying, if you only had faith like that, just as minute, that would be the starting point for the seed will grow. That will be the starting point.
And if there have been things in our lives that we cannot budge because of unbelief, and who among us can say we have clean hands in this matter? If there have been things in our lives that we cannot budge because of unbelief, then we'll have to say, Lord, our faith must be even smaller. Our faith must be even smaller than the grain of mustard seed. But the Lord is saying here, I'm prepared to start, even if you have the tiniest modicum of faith. I'm ready to start with you. If you're going to trust me, the Lord will encourage you. Praise the Lord for the encouragement of this verse. He's not saying to the Christian, look, unless you have great faith, and I want you to have great faith, but unless you have great faith, I cannot abide you. I cannot use you. I cannot tolerate you. I cannot have you stand in my presence. Oh no, the Lord conducts an open house for all comers. And he'll take everyone. Even that child of God who's going to lament the poor condition of his faith. The Lord is saying, I can start with little. I can start with you as you are, with but a mustard seed kind of faith. If that seed is going to be planted in the Word of God, and if that seed is going to be generated in prayer, then that faith can grow, and it will grow, and bring forth fruit abundantly. The Lord is prepared to start at your level. That's what I'm saying. Wherever you are, in terms of spirituality, now, the Lord is prepared to start at your level. You may despise yourself. You may want to demean your faith. And you may complain of the low level of spiritual life as far as you're concerned. But the Lord is prepared to start wherever you are. The Lord is ready to start at your level. And he's saying today, will you come and take my promise? Will you come and take my word? And will you build upon what I have given? Even the mustard seed faith, the tiny seed will grow. Then look at Acts chapter 8. In verse 37, this is the if of following Christ. And I would not want to preach about getting wisdom from God. I would not want to preach about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I would not want to preach about going on to trust the Lord more than ever you have done before, without also saying there must be an if of encouragement in following Christ. It is the pastor's task to encourage the people of God. It's not the minister's task to berate the Christian, and it's not the minister's task to rend the church. It is the minister's task to build the church as God shall enable him. And of course, the Lord gives gifts that will differ in all of his servants. No man will have the same distribution of gifts. But the Lord will gift his servants as it pleases him. However, in the service of the Lord, even as I preach in this congregation, it is your solemn obligation as well as your joy. It is my solemn obligation as well as my joy to follow the Lord. I must seek still to follow him. I started out to follow him the day I was saved. There were times when I found that my path meandered and I got into bypath meadow. There were times when the spiritual level in my life went down and I found my life a wilderness. But there have been those times when the Lord has graciously restored and blessed me. And you can say the same. And my life has not been constant. Oh, listen, we're creatures of infirmity. We have the ups and downs of life. We'd be less than honest if we made out that something else was the case. And personally, I have no time for dishonesty. I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And every child of God then, in absolute frankness, will have to say, yes, there have been times when my heart has been stirred. And there have been times too when I felt my heart was very cold. But the Lord has been good. The Lord has been faithful. He calls you still to follow him. Even if you've thrown in the towel or you've cast down the tools, the Lord is saying to you now, pick them up. Make a new start. Whatever it means. If there's sin in your life, get rid of it. If there's a barrier there, pray God that it can be removed. Whatever the obstacle is, pray the Lord will help you overcome it. We can be more than conquerors through Him that has loved us. Then start out and follow Him. And whatever it means, it may mean for some baptism. Now our church is open on baptism. But every Christian should be baptized in the form about which he has personal conviction. Because that baptism will be an indication of our faith, a confession of our trusting in Christ. Acts chapter 8 is about the conversion of the eunuch. Verse 37, the eunuch had spoken about baptism, and Philip said, if there is the condition, there's the if, but it's an if of encouragement. Don't take these conditions God gives as barriers. Don't have a negative attitude of mind. There are some people, as they look at the ifs of the Bible, ifs of the kind we have been noting today, they would see everyone as a barrier and a hindrance and an obstacle. It's no such thing. These are ifs of encouragement, where the Lord is saying, look, if this is the case, just let's read the words in verse 37. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you're a believer, if you love the Lord, if you can come nigh to Him with all your heart, then you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the sum total of his faith. I believe his faith is confessed. His faith is in Christ. And moreover, it's an intelligent faith. For the faith of the believer here is reposing in the deity of Christ, in the sonship of our Redeemer. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or in keeping with our hymn today, I believe that Jesus the Messiah is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. That's the way the Christian worker and the Christian believer ought to go. Rejoicing in Christ. Because you have a faith to confess. You have a Savior to confess. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the testimony. Can we look lastly, Hebrews 3:14. This is another if of encouragement, the if of holding fast. And this is important to the Christian. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. These are words that we would do well to read over. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, this is not a threat. Again, I come back to the point. This is not a barrier and an obstacle. This is not a judgment. This is an encouragement. And the message is here, we need to go on in the Christian life holding fast our profession. Please note this. Verse 14 does not say we're to go on holding on to Christ for salvation. I'm glad that's not the case. If my salvation depended upon the power of my holding on to Christ, I would be in a sorry condition. It doesn't say if you keep on holding on to Christ. No, salvation is all about His holding on to you. That's how I'm saying. I don't know about some friend in this congregation, but I can say of myself, I'm saved. I'm going on today because the Lord has kept holding on to me. That's why I'm here. But what's the verse about? The verse is saying, We're made partakers of Christ. We're going to enjoy the fullness of Christ if we keep holding on to our profession. And that's what the Lord's talking about. The profession of faith. The maintenance of your Christian life. The devil hates your testimony. The devil hates your profession. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to drag you down into the depths of despair and depression. He wants to discourage you, to make little of your faith, to make little of your spirituality, to make little of your joy, to demean everything about you, until you feel, oh, I have nothing and am less than nothing. And sad to say, some good Christians have foundered in that rock. The Lord is saying, hold on to that profession. Don't let the devil steal it away from you. Hold on to it, that you can enjoy Christ. Holding on to the profession will not save you, but holding on to the profession means everything if you're going to enjoy the Christian life. Hold on to that profession. Now the Lord has saved you, keep on with the profession, with the testimony. Keep on telling others you've come to know the Savior. May the Lord bless these words to every one of our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. The gifts of encouragement. It will have been good for us today just to know the truth about many of these verses. Verses that sometime we take to be verses of judgment and verses of threatening, verses with barriers and obstacles, but these are encouragements. And the Lord is saying, look, wherever you are, I can start at your level. Even with a grain of mustard seed, I can start there. He's not going to turn you out. He's not going to slam the door in your face. The Lord is willing to start with you. Whatever the level, you can get in there. There's an open house for all comers. He's a great Savior. Will you say, Lord, help me to pray for wisdom. Help me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill me now. Give me the mustard seed faith. Oh, Lord, especially. So speak to me and bless me as to cause me to follow after Christ all the way by open confession of faith. And Lord, this very day, take me as I am and help me to maintain the testimony with which I have begun in the Christian life. What about your testimony? Keep it clean. Keep it straight. Keep it right. And if you're going to say, as I think you will, Lord, I can't keep it, then ask the Lord to do the keeping. Lord, speak on in this meeting and bless thy word. In Jesus' dear name, amen.